When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Grand Canyon University makes earning your degree possible with over 130 academic programs for traditional campus students, with more than 80 bachelor's programs offered online. GCU provides you with the personal support you need, from complimentary unofficial transcript evaluations within 24 business hours to scholarships, academic support, and your GCU graduation team, led by your own university counselor. Find your purpose at GCU. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.
It's a big week when RHAP is on the road in Chicago. Check out my live show from Chicago. That's going to be up on Thursday, Wednesday night. Shannon Gus is going to be live with you with Kelly Wentworth after Survivor. And we preview the Dondi finale with Deal or No Deal Island host Joe Manganiello, all right here on RHAP. We know reality TV.
Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Cicerino back with a challenge exit interview. Boy, these challenge exit interviews are coming in fast and furious. We got another one here today. We're going to be talking with Dusty, and let's welcome in a fellow challenge super fan. It's Brian Cohen. Brian, how are you?
I'm doing good, Rob. I left you a note on your desk over there.
Yes, I don't know if you can see,
just in case we don't do another one of these again.
Okay, just in case we get separated. I appreciate that. Yep. Yeah, Dusty came in hot on this week's episode.
He did. A little too hot.
Of calling out people that did not even vote for him.
He got a little bit of troll job by the editors on his case, unfortunately. But, you know, I think he lived out his dream. So what more can you want?
Yeah, really. It was surprising. It was just a very Wes heavy episode.
It was out of the blue, too. Out of the clear blue sky. Out of nowhere. This is a heavy, heavy Wes episode. But, you know, Dusty, you know, the Amazing Race people, it's tough. There's only two of them. They're really the short straw on these type of seasons. So it's tough to get their footing.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you can check out Allie and Brian's coverage here of the challenge for episodes 5 and 6. That podcast is already up in our challenge podcast feed. And this interview is also up on our YouTube channel at robhaswebsite.com/YouTube. I see that we have Dusty on the line. Let's go ahead and bring him in. Hey, Dusty, what's going on?
Oh, another day in paradise. A bloomful Monday licking my wounds.
Yeah.
I want to win one of these damn things, man.
One day, Dusty. Let me just start up the recording and we could chat about it. Okay.
Recording in progress.
Hey, Dusty, what's going on? It's Rob and Brian here from RHAP. What a close call. We're in the real time. Did you think that you had this?
I mean, 100%, guys. It was a no-brainer to me that I'd punched my ticket to move over to the blue team and get back in the house and turn the damn thing upside down. I mean, you don't see it, but I'm literally yelling at everyone. No, standing up there, get ready for the business.
Okay. So you would have headed to the blue team. That was your plan. If you won, you were going to defect over to blue.
I mean, at this point, you know, I'm trying to float as long as I can, but it's no secret. The vets have pulled me in. That's a vet heavy team who is winning every single daily. Let's be honest. I felt like it would have given me the best chance to get it. And I don't know what's happening. If this is about to break up into partners or individuals, that was the goal, is to get to that. Cause I knew if I got to that, I had a very good chance of winning. Unfortunately, I met, you know, I get into a little argument with one of my teammates puts a real big target on my back.
Yeah.
And I, no pun intended, go into Dance with the Devil West in the arena, and 37 seconds will haunt me about as much as flipping over rocks.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we don't get into that today. All right. So Dusty, give us some context because, we turned on the episode. I know you got 4 votes and we see you get real hot. So could you give us a little bit from your perspective that why Tiffany of all people? Could you just talk us through where you were coming from?
Absolutely. And so before I dive into this, I've had a million people ask. I did apologize to Tiffany the next morning. I've had a phone call with Tiffany, and I'm going to say it here as I've done on every single thing I've done. Not a good look, Tiffany. I should not have spoken to you that way. There's better ways to communicate with people. And now, lo and behold, you were right. I look like a bigger idiot. So again, yeah. I'm truly sorry. There's better ways to speak to people. I was wrong. So what caused this? Is prior to this elimination, when I received the 4 balls that set me off, I had a conversation with Alyssa Lopez, kind of pulled me to the side, was like, listen, we haven't had much game talk. She wasn't happy about Lewis going in, and we can get into that if that's going to happen. But sure. We were like, how do we work together here? And so she was like, if you don't vote for me, I will keep 3 balls off you. I'm like, done deal. I wouldn't even really think about voting for you, but let's use this to my advantage. And so in my mind, I was expecting 1 ball from Desi, just because it was a retaliatory shot. We had a conversation like, I get it. Hopefully the hopper doesn't put me in. If I can dodge this, we can move past that as well. I get 4 balls. And so immediately when I'm standing on the sand dune, the first thing that comes to my mind is this conversation with Alyssa. And I'm like, damn, she got me, man. I knew I shouldn't have listened to her. And so why I got mad at Tiffany is throughout this whole season, Tiffany and I are on same team, Team Red Flags. It's like, her and I have worked together every single daily. She has been my partner. And it's like, I've gone to bat to help her in everything, whether it's swimming, whether all these challenges, trying to help will be a support system. We've worked well together. And it's like, man, you're my friend. And then I think, in my gut, you voted for me. And it didn't just piss me off. It like hurt my feelings. And I just couldn't see anything else but that they did it. And so I'm literally lacing my shoes up to go work out. That's the number one thing I said. When shit's going to hit the fan, it's going to, Dusty. You have to get out of that situation and just go work it off. Sit down, breathe, then have a conversation. The problem is I live in the dungeon with all of the psychopaths in the house, and there's one way in, one way out. As I make my move to leave, Tiffany and every camera person in the whole house is heading on down, and I can't control myself. My temper gets the best of me, and I didn't even give her a chance to explain herself. I'm hearing her say she voted Sebastian. I wasn't going to have it. I was already, my mind was made up, but I was wrong. And it was a bad look. It doesn't look good yelling at people. And I whiffed completely, and it put a bigger target on my back to put me in. And at that point I knew I was going into dance. It wasn't if, but, and so I was ready, and I, going against Wes, who else better? Let's go. Give me the best. Mm-hmm. I thought I beat him, man. I really did.
I'm curious, as a fellow super fan of the show for many years, I'm sure you had perceptions of like Bananas and Wes and TJ even. How did they kind of compare to what you had in your head? Like what were you expecting? And then how did they kind of fit that to what you were expecting going in?
Yeah. So, I mean, as you said, watching this, there is a preconceived notion about all of these people. And I mean, I guess the best way to put it is don't judge a book by the cover. What you see is definitely what you get on TV. They know what they're doing, but like this whole Bananas thing, like Bananas is not my hero, guys. My dad is my hero. Editing is a hell of a thing. The note was real, and I get why they did the hero thing to build into it. Literally, I wrote Banana note at his elimination going against Paulie. You don't get to say goodbye to these guys. I mean, when you get eliminated, you're getting hauled out back to the paddy wagon and drove out to go stay in a hotel to be flown home. I just wanted to thank him. He gave me some great advice just about some, not just the challenge, about just life in general. At this time, it's the 2-year anniversary of my dad dying. My wife's at home pregnant with a kid that I'm like, what the hell am I doing in Croatia doing this and leaving my wife at home with our 2-year-old son pregnant? The walls are closing, the pressure of the game. You say you know what you're talking about, and everyone has a plan until you're punched in the face. And he just gave me some great advice. And man, I just wrote him a simple thank you, brother, for the advice you gave me. You're a true champion in this business. And of course, Bananas being the asshole he is. And I literally, they don't show this. I go, this is not a love note. Say it out loud to this camera. Say it right now. And I made him say it. And it is what it is. I've taken so much shit for it, but it's whatever.
Okay, Dustin, could you talk through the Lewis vote a couple of rounds ago? Because that, yes. These other shows are really like, hey, that's my show. You, I thought this is like a non-negotiable for for me. Ultimately, I wouldn't say that you wanted to, but ultimately you did give in on the vote to write down Lewis's name. So could you just tell us from your perspective what you were thinking with that vote?
So we go into deliberation. So this is Team Red Flag's first win. And immediately when we win, if you see my face standing on the podium, it's a look of dread, not excitement, because Josh and the girls start fighting the second we win about who we're voting in. It hasn't even dawned on me yet about the vote when you actually win, because I never thought we were going to win. And I realized immediately, this is the worst position to be in. I would rather have lost and taken my chances with the hopper. What's not aired, and I know, you know, there's this speculation that maybe I should have done more for Lewis. Lewis told my team, all of them, that he had put balls on them. That decision was made. And how you see Josh acting at the beginning of this deliberation, the words that I got out, the two sentences, are basically all I said. I remember looking at Corey multiple times at the end of the table, like, what the hell have we gotten ourselves into, man? We do not matter on this team. And at that moment, Team Red Flags is all that mattered to me, because I felt like it was the only way to stay safe as truly as just to win, even though it's going to suck. I realized that that was all out the window. And so the girls come start trying to press me that they're going to switch votes, this and that. Man, they had an agenda to try to save Desi. You see, Tiffany, you could have hung the vote just as easy. You folded. It's not aired. I said I would have hung the vote. Let's do it. Let's go. Me, Josh, Chanel, let's hang it. I was not putting
what would happen Lewis on a hung vote. Do you know?
Our names probably would have went in the hopper, and we would have been picked to compete to see who went in. Mm-hmm. And I would have rather dealt with that than go in. This bed was made. I mean, there's not much else I can say. It was chaos. I did the best that I could. The one thing I wasn't going to do, though, is say anyone else's name outside of Monty or Desi's, who I'd said, because that was going to go right back into the house, which it did, from the girls, to be used against me. And that's the angle that they were coming on with the strong arm statement. They were trying to just get me to say anything. It wasn't about saving Lewis. It was about saving Desi. I did the best I could, man. I was in, you know, a team of all vets, in a room with all vets, in an uphill battle. I think his bed was made before mine. He chose his side. I'm trying to float and stay in this as long as I can, as the, you know, two amazing race people in this. And I mean, shit went crazy. And it's like, I love you, Lewis, dude. It crushed me to see you go. Is the last thing that I wanted. It was gut wrenching. It's just the nature of the business, man. And I did what I could. And there was nothing to be done. And I don't care what anyone says. Nothing.
So I know, like you said earlier, you would have joined the blue team to try to be part of like that challenge super team. And you're obviously pretty loyal to them. Looking back now and watching the tape and other conversations, do you feel they also were loyal to you? Do you think they were trying to protect you, trying to save you, especially with this last vote? Do you think they were doing enough to try to also keep you as a number for them?
I think so. And with the blue team, like with Tori, with Fessy, with, you know, everyone on the team, I felt like I had a very good relationship on that side. It was the green team that scared me constantly. Some of the Big Brother people I felt like was an easy target to come for me. I think they were doing what they could do. And realistically, you see what they tried to do for Wes. So I don't know what would have happened if I would have been on the wall. I mean, it got to the point on the teams where when the numbers, if you didn't have them in deliberation, there's nothing you could do. It didn't. You see every single team say that. If it's 4-2, 3-2, you're not changing these people's opinions. The magic of editing, there's nothing they can do about it. You're going to meet your maker. And so I knew once I popped off and caused the scene, I was going. I mean, it was like, get ready, go bust his ass and come back and cause a huge scene.
Just real quick one, because I know you have to run it. This is how is it determined who went first in the elimination, of who was spinning the wheels and who was trying to, I'm just curious how that was determined.
It was a random selection. They do
it was a random selection. Okay.
Yep. And I, to be honest, I was glad how it went. My strategy was to do but two wheels from the get-go, but then seeing Wes struggle so mightily with the first one, because he was there for a long time. I mean, it made it look like it was just a little bit. He had no chance of budging me. And I was just trying to give him enough to make it think. I wanted him to think he was getting progress, but I knew the whole time that, dude, keep spinning. I'm going to be up here all day.
Okay.
That big wheel hits, you're toast. You're gone.
Real quick, I know this was a dream for you to go do the challenge. Would you go back to a challenge, or maybe only with regular challenge competitors and none of this Survivor and Big Brother?
I will go back to whatever is offered. Bring Survivor, bring Big Brother. It's just a bigger hole for a piece of cake for me to hole through. Good. I'll tell you. I got
Now this is getting fighting words, Dusty. Okay. I got to.
Let's go.
Don't make me put on the laundry. Okay. All right, Dusty, but nice to chat with you. Hope you're doing okay. And everybody was good at home. Baby here yet?
Baby's here. Baby's doing great. Mama's good. Great. I just had one figured out. Now I got to figure out another one. It's okay. Crazy.
All right. Well, good luck, Dusty. All right. Take care, buddy.
Best of luck.
All right.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate you.
Bye. All right, Brian, there you have it. Dusty.
Here it is, the Challenge Superfan. Not too soon.
Challenge Superfan. Then he was out there, and great to get some context from Dusty on a few things. Yeah, it was a tough boot episode for Dusty because the editors decided to go, let's go all in on faking you out that Wes is going home.
Yeah, it was very odd, especially as a Challenge Superfan, thinking that this could be Wes's last episode. So you were definitely overly excited, unfortunately, to see Dusty go as in, you know, in favor of Wes. But, you know, Dusty was an interesting character this season. That's for sure.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Definitely brought some drama there at the end. All right. Brian, of course, everybody can check out you and Allie with your recap of this week's episode. And then just for a heads up, next week, Brian and Allie are off.
Yes, we're on Yadis for just the 1 week. We'll be back the following week to, you know, do another double episode before, okay, you know, regular cadence for the Thursdays.
Yeah, I will have the exit interviews going as well for next week, though. But Brian, of course, great job today. And then everybody check out everything else from the Challenge recap and the Challenge podcast feed. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.